The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be here tonight? Are you expectant? It's my honor to be here. House on the Rock is one of the leading institutions where the counsel of God comes to furnish the body of Christ globally. And so I'm humbled to be here to minister from this platform. I honor the father and the leader over the commission, God's servant, Pastor Paul Adefarasin. And I'm also humbled to minister here in the presence of the lead set man over the house, Pastor Kosfini Udoka. Thank you so much for the honor of having me here. God bless you. I celebrate the leadership of the house. House on the Rock is known for excellence, for power, and for glory. And so it's an honor to be here to share with you fellowship even this evening. We have just 1 hour. Thank you so much. We have just 1 hour to look into the Word. So can you just lift your hands toward heaven and speak from your heart to the Father? In a moment, the Bible said, in the twinkling of an eye, we can be changed. In a moment, we can just be changed. It takes the twinkling of an eye for us to be changed, to be transformed and to be transfigured. And so if you are ready for that moment of the Spirit, you could just be caught up even in the course of the service. So talk to the Lord now from the depth of your heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you. We bless your name. We honor you. Thank you for the privilege of summoning us to participate in fellowship. Thank you for the glory that you have called us into. Thank you, Lord, for the mercy that we have enjoyed of your Spirit. We give you praise, we give you glory. Lord, you've hid this glory in earthen vessels. And you have asked that by your Spirit, we allow this glory to be emitted. And so we've come to behold the Word, that the glory that is locked within can begin to find expression. And so we ask that you help us tonight. Let there be a catching up in the Spirit. Let there be an activation in the Spirit. Let there be impartations in the Spirit. Let there be quickenings in the Spirit. Every hungry heart tonight, Lord, water them by your Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we lift our holy hands tonight and we give you praise. We give you glory. We worship you. We extol you. Do what only you can do tonight and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign. You reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you ancient Zion's King.
Kadosh, Kadosh.
You are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you reign.
We give you glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Your name is glorified, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Please be seated. Since I have 60 minutes, let me open a few scriptures. And it's a word conference, so it's important to share something. Maybe we'll take time tonight just to spell out a few things, and then tomorrow we'll disregard all the plans we have and allow the Holy Ghost to... You know, there are certain things that can't be taught on earth. There are certain things that are taught in the spirit. You must ascend to see it, because the words that build you, you don't hear them, you see them. That's why it's called revelation. When you see, you become. When you hear, you are full of knowledge. And so certain things must be caught up, must be caught in the spirit. You see them and you become. Praise God. But for tonight, let's establish coordinates, let's establish foundations, and then we see what God will do. Praise the Lord. It's a word conference, and so tonight I want to share briefly 5 things that happen to us when we delve deep into the ministry of the word. The word of the Lord is not meant primarily to educate us. The word of the Lord is meant as a spiritual syllabus that transforms us to become the exact image of the God class. Before man had need to read and write, he was already interacting with the word. And Jesus speaking, he said, the words I speak, he said, they are spirit and they are life. The words I speak are not consistent with the principles of philosophy or human ideologies. The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And you know, the mode of teaching and the mode of education that we have today was informed by the fall. If man had not fallen, we wouldn't read and write. Because reading and writing was not part of the divine syllabus. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, when God was teaching the first man, there were no scrolls. The Bible said in the cool of the day, the voice of God came walking in the garden. And when God walked through the garden, the man had intercourse with God. Because the goal was for the man to live in the full weight of his ordination. You know, God created a lot of creatures before man was created. I've taught again and again that man is the youngest in the creative enterprise of God. When you go to heaven, even among the angels, some angels are called elders. The Bible said a strong angel was asked a question by John when he entered the spirit. And he had no answer. And John wept in heaven. But why John was yet weeping? Because the angel did not have answer to the fate of humanity. An elder walked to John and said, "Weep not." He said, "Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, had prevailed." That means what that strong angel was looking up to in the future was in the past of the elder. All of them were in heaven, but they were in different realities. The strong angel was looking forward to salvation for man. But when the elder showed up, he said, "Salvation is in the past, because salvation was prosecuted before the foundation of the world." The strong angel couldn't see it. So in the spirit, even in the spirit, they are elders. And eldership in that realm is actually not a function of age. It's a function of the mysteries that you have access to. This is why when we come to spiritual equation, you ask people how old you are wrong. You are actually supposed to ask them, "Where have you been?" Because a witch of 10 years can be older than a man of 80 years. Because the secret that witch has access to, a man of 80 years may not have journeyed there. So in the context of reality, the 10-year-old is older. So in the spirit, man is the youngest of creation, because man is a novice when it comes to the syllables of God's spirit. And so in order to fast-track his developmental process, the Bible said in the cool of the day, the voice of God came walking in the garden. And he allowed the man opportunity to mingle with him. As he mingled with God, a point came that a protocol was activated for that man to journey into the God class. Because he was not created in the order of the angels. If he was created in the order of the angels, he would have been powerful. Because when you read the chronicles of the angels, they are spectacular. When you hear about Michael, the power and the glory that Michael carries is scary. Michael alone is the archangel that represents Israel. The Bible spoke of one angel that slew 185,000 men in one night. So the angels are creatures of glory. But when God created man, he didn't create man in the order of the angels, even though that would have been glorious enough. When he created man in the order of the Godhead. And I didn't say he created man in the order of the world. If he created man in the order of the world, that would have been powerful. If he created man in the order of the spirit, that would have been powerful. If he created man in the order of the Father, that would have been powerful. But the totality of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, their reality was combined together. And the man was created to mirror at the same time both the Father, the Spirit, and the world. Even the angels have not heard of such possibilities. And so it was needful for God to train the man and to teach him what it means to function in the God class. Because your best is actually failure in the realm of God. That's why God does not call you to live your best. You were called to manifest God. Until you leave God, you are failing. I know you are good in chemistry, you are good in philosophy, you are good in business. But until you leave God, you are a failure. Because you were not created to live your best. You were created to live God. And so when a man enters his element, what you see are the dimensions of Abba. It's impossible to recognize a man after the order of man. When you recognize a man in his true reality, he will be seen after an order of the God dimension. That's why Paul said, "Henceforth, know we no man after the flesh." I don't want to know if you came from Asaba. I don't want to know if you came from Onisha. When I find you, there should be a dimension of God that flows out of you as an aroma. That aroma is your signature in reality. Now, for this to happen, you need to be taught. Because if you know this, you will now understand that the reason we read and write in the first place is because we are falling. Because if we were not falling, hope you know, when they go for meeting in the demonic coven, they don't go with textbooks. They don't go with textbooks. When you are initiated, the first thing they do is that they teach you how to fly. If I bilocate into this meeting, everybody will run out. It's a sign that we are backward in our own civilization. The witches have kept their ordinances. They have kept their heritage. Witches don't need planes to go for meeting. I came in a business class. I sat like a king. That posture is a statement of a fall.
You know, when you enter and you sit in a business class, people are walking past you, you now feel important. It's a sign of the fall. Because if we were not falling, I would have met you on the altar. What is the time for the meeting? 5 p.m. We'll see there. And we will collide here. And it will not be a miracle. It would not be a miracle. We would have met here, and that would have been natural, because that's our realm. Now, the witches have kept those ordinances till now. When they go for their meeting, they meet there. And sometimes when they want to meet, they meet in different nations per time. They can meet in India. No matter how smart the immigration of India is, they can't dictate it. Because the instrument of the flesh is mundane. If they want to meet in America today, they can meet in Washington. America thinks they are the most secured nations of the world. They are joking when they come to the context of spirit reality. Witches can meet in the White House. And when they are done with their meeting, everybody will go to different nations. But if we have a meeting, we must labor to pay for an auditorium. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I'm saying in the context of our heritage, we are behind. In the context of the civilization of light, we are backward. Because if we enter the fullness of our ordination, we will live as gods on the face of the earth. So when we are doing the ministry of the word, the goal is not to write principles, like Pastor have said. The goal is not to read, and the goal is not to cram. When you enter the ministry of the word, what happens is that the heritage of the first is unlocked to you. And then the perspective that is consistent with your original ordination begins to find expression. If all we do with the word is to read, to cram, and to apply principles, we will still be backward. That's why today our greatest meetings are principle meetings. And when you come to those meetings, we are not even doing enough. Because I can assure you that all those who went to business school in Harvard, at least 50% of them end up as millionaires. And so no matter how much we teach these principles, we are still backward. That's why today the richest man is not calling the name of Jesus. Because you don't need Jesus to be wealthy. I've hit somebody's religion. Well, don't argue with a book. Go and find out who is the richest black man. He's not a Christian. So that one answers the question. Find out the richest man in the world is not a Christian. So you don't need to be born again to be rich. Our heritage are deep. But when we catch them, we will dominate the natural realm. When we catch them, we will rule the natural realm. The ministry of the word is not to increase how much you knew before now. You may come here and you may not write anything. But when you live here, something will change about you. Because when you interact with the ministry of the word, the protocol that was activated in Eden will be activated again. You will live here and you will become more like God. You may not write a note, but you will know that the authority level you operate in have changed. The glory that you carry would have changed. The wisdom you operate with would have changed. The reason is because the ministry of the word is designed to make you more like God. The ministry of the word is designed to open you up to deeper dimensions of the spirit so that you can sit on your throne and rule from there as a member of the councils of heaven. But because we are going to start from earth, let's read some things. Oh dear Lord Jesus. You know, there are certain things that you share among the mature. If you say, they'll say, God, this is heresy. This is heresy. So let's read some things. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Paul was speaking to Timothy and he wanted to expose him to the realm of the world. And he said, until I come. He said, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. He went further to verse 14. He said, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy and by the laying on of the hands of the eldership. And in verse 16 particularly, he said, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that your progress may be evident to all. So when you give yourself to reading, to to exhortation and to doctrine. The goal is not to quote 100 scriptures. The goal is that what? Thy profiting may be made manifest to all. So the idea and the focus of the ministry of the word is to ensure that your profiting is made manifest to all. When a man is given to the ministry of the word, it's important for him to have understanding of what the parameters to look out for are. Because if he doesn't know, he will reduce the potency of this ministry to a mundane thing. And at the end of the day, he is doing the ministry of the word, but is not different from the Muslim scholar in New Testament, who is reading, quoting, and reciting the word for argument. Both of them know the scripture, they quote it, but your progress is the proof that you have been introduced to the ministry of the word, not how much of it you can quote. There are many theologians today that if you quote three phrases, they will tell you where it is in the Bible. They are like concordances. They have read the word, they have studied the word, but they have not known the purpose of the ministry of the word. To them, the ministry of the word is to understand or to remember a few things and to use it for argument. But when we come into spirit context, the purpose of the ministry of the word is so that your profiting will be made manifest to all. So the reason you can sit on one scripture for 10 hours is not because you have not remembered it. A verse of scripture sometimes is made up of 10 words. If you look at it for 5 minutes, you can remember it. But sometimes, because what you are doing is the ministry of the word, the goal is not to remember that verse. The goal is for the door that that verse represents to open to you, because every verse is a door in the spirit. When we enter the ministry of the word, we are fighting for access, because there are realities that are kept behind that we must step into and touch them. So a man who understands the ministry of the word, sometimes he will sit on one verse of scripture for 1 month. When you don't know the ministry of the word, your priority will be how many verses you have read in 1 day. That is good for discipline if you are beginning, because you need to be acquainted with the word. But when you have gained acquaintance with the word and you really want to make profit by the word, you will make sure the doors begin to open, because every scripture is a door into reality. Jesus said, I am the door. He said, whoever comes into me, he said, he will go in and out and he will find pasture. That is reality. But many people have not begun the ministry of the word. When we come to a conference like this, the first thing we want to achieve is to stir a hunger for you to go back to the scripture. Because the scripture is not another textbook. The scripture is a collocation of spiritual realities locked into a book for you to find. And when you find it, the glory that is in your spirit begins to manifest. The reason we are vulnerable is because we have not explored the word. When we explore this word, every one of us will become a reflection of different dimensions of God. And when we gather like this, we will not be church members. We will be representatives of different dimensions. This indeed will become the ecclesia. Because the ecclesia is actually a senate, where everybody represents a constituency. The church is supposed to be a spiritual governing system, like a senate in the spirit. So everyone who is seated is representing a dimension. So when we come to church, it's not the pastor that does everything. When somebody is sick, we know that there are men who have found the reality of healing. And so even without the pastor knowing, the usher can walk up to a cripple and say, get up. When those things begin to happen, then the ministry of the word have come to its full reality. When we need souls to be won, the pastor can just announce it and 3 people will bring Asaba upside down, because there is something they carry. When they speak, you can't resist them. What was written in the tablet of your heart, what was engraved on your spirit man before you manifested? He said, before you were born, I knew you. I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nation. When you come into the world and you begin to search the scripture, your goal is not to recite Genesis to Revelation. You are searching the scripture to find out the gateway to the prophetic, so that when you access it, you will come out as a prophet. Because that's what was written about you before the foundation of the world. But when you came into the world, you must access it through the word. The ministry of the word unlocks the reality that is in your spirit. Who are you? Are you the one to come, or do we expect another?
That's why he said, until I come, give attendance. Give attendance. Give attendance. We are in a hurry because we think the scripture is to learn one or two principles and prosper in business. We failed. Because you don't need it to prosper. We are in a hurry because we think the scripture is to look up something and to quote so that you too will be called a Christian. No. There is a wealth in your spirit man that the scripture will help you excavate. When you find it, the nations will seek you. When you find it, the nations will seek you. And so when men begin to give attendance to the word, there is a protocol that is activated. Five amongst many things happen. When these things begin to happen, then you have understood the ministry of the word. I will talk about the ministry of the word tomorrow, but for tonight, let me show you the things that happen when you enter the ministry of the word so you will know what to focus on. You know, I was teaching some months ago and I told them, as revival is coming, a prayer movement is heralding it. But you have to be careful not to prioritize in how many hours you pray in tongues. You have to be careful not to prioritize the kind of tongues you preach, you pray. Because today, before the revival is even here, the prayer has been bastardized. So when people pray, they want to pray in a certain way. They call it capital letter tongues. While they are yet praying, they are in the flesh. Because as they are speaking those tongues, they are careful to see people's impression and to find out whether they are impressed. People come for prayer meeting and the goal is, I was able to pray for 4 hours. And then you ask them, what did you bet? Because they say, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And so, I am not against long prayers. I teach it. I am not against praying as the Spirit energizes you. I preach it. But at the end of the day, if you have not betted, your travail was a waste. And if you don't believe it, ask a pregnant woman. If she has travailed for 4 hours and ends up with a stillbirth, she will not recover for months. Because the goal was not the travail. The goal was the child that should come forth. If people don't understand why we do what we do, they will abuse it. And they will think their whole life is committed to it, but at the end of their life, they will discover they wasted. And so tonight, I want to share something with you. The ministry of the word is not about quoting scriptures. The ministry of the word is not just that I am a Christian and I've memorized scriptures. Those things are good at the beginning level. But when you want to do business in deep waters, there are things you focus on. When the ministry of the word comes, the first thing that happens is that faith is activated in your spirit. So when you find a man who has engaged the ministry of the word, it's his faith level that indicates it. Not how many scriptures he quotes. Have you seen people in crisis who are quoting scriptures and running? Because they heard somebody say it, or they looked at it and they interacted with it at face value. But when challenges came, there was no faith in their spirit man. In Romans chapter 10 verse 17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So when a man begins to interact with the word, the sign that he has touched the word is that faith is better in his spirit. Faith is not just trusting God to get something done. That's kindergarten faith. Faith is actually a consciousness of a superior realm and a superior being. And then you begin to live on the strength of that consciousness. So when I come to a place and I see a mountain, the mountain is actually there, but I have a consciousness of a superior realm. And if I can superimpose that realm, that mountain counts for nothing. That is faith. And those things can't happen to you until these words that were the breath of the being that dwell in that superior realm begins to interact with your spirit. So when a man touches the word, faith is activated in his spirit. That faith is the proof that he has touched the ministry of the word. That faith is the proof that he's doing business with the word of God. So no matter how much you read the Bible, don't impress yourself that you have read Genesis to Revelation. No matter how you sit on a scripture, don't impress yourself that you can remember it and preach it. Find out how much of faith is growing. What is the level of my consciousness of the word realm? If my consciousness is beginning to increase and is beginning to impact my world, then I'm beginning to prosper by the word. Remember, Paul said, give thyself wholly to this thing until thy profiting is made manifest to all. Your profiting is the degree to which your consciousness aligns
with that word. So the reason we sit on the word is not to preach it. The reason we sit on the word is not to quote it. The reason we sit on the word is because we know we have different consciousness that were programmed into us by our environment. Now we want to leave our natural environment into our superior environment. So we sit on the word until that word becomes our consciousness. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning faith, it said by it the elders obtained a good result. And then he went further to explain something that is mind-blowing. Something very mind-blowing. Open Hebrews 11 verse 3 for me quickly. He said, by faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made from the things which do appear. That means when a man is beginning to touch the realm of faith, he begins to alter the natural with the supernatural. He begins to alter the seen with the unseen. That's a consciousness and an operation from a higher realm. Because your advantage is not in the natural. I know you are competent. I know you are skilled. But if you cannot invoke the superior realm to add to what you know, you will be another orator. And you will discover that there are many orators. And to make things worse, the English you are speaking in which you are an orator is somebody else's language. And so when you meet an Englishman, you are already defeated. This is why you cannot depend on the natural resources you have. You must touch the word of God until the word of God quickens something beyond the natural in your spirit man. And when that thing happens, it empowers you to begin to control the natural realm. Now, when you know how the faith realm works, you will discover that it's not you calling God to answer the prayer. The faith realm is not you inviting God into the situation. The faith realm is you beginning to represent God in the situation. That's why I said in Mark 11 from verse 22, he said, have the God kind of faith. He said, when this faith is at work in you, when you see a mountain, you will not talk to God about the mountain. You will say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast away. Where do you develop such audacity? Where do you develop such nerve to confront a mountain? When you weigh yourself and compare yourself to the mountain, many times the mountain is 1,000 times or more bigger than you. But suddenly, because you have entered the faith realm, your God element is activated. And so as you confront the mountain, you are not inviting God into the situation. You are confronting the mountain as a God over the mountain. So faith quickens your consciousness, activates you, and brings you to operate in the God class. Because when you were created in the God class. It was the fall that made time to trap you. When you begin to do business with the world, the power of time is broken over you and you return to your nativity in the class of God. And as you begin to perceive from that realm, the influence of that realm begins to enter your situation. And so a point comes in your life where nothing is a challenge. Every challenge becomes a platform for manifestation. This is what the ministry of the word comes to do. That a man becomes so much like God that he begins to represent God. You know, I heard stories of great men like the late Archbishop Benson Idahosa. He said, I don't need to call God here. As I'm here, God is enough. And everybody is pursuing the mantle of Benson Idahosa. It's not about the mantle. It's about the revelation of the word. It's about an understanding of how the faith realm work. That in the corridor of faith, God gives you an opportunity to be like him and to represent him to your world. So when you show up, men see you and they see God. This is why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You don't need to see Christ. When you see me, you have seen enough of Christ. I represent him so much because that realm has reprogrammed me. A point came, Paul was writing scriptures. And he said, concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord. He said, but as a man who is trustworthy, I speak on this matter. And the things Paul said became scripture. Because he was talking from the realm where God talks. And if you talk from the God realm, your word becomes the word of God. That's why I said, I confirm the words of my servant. He didn't say the words I put in my servant's mouth. He said, I confirm the words of my servant and I perform the counsels of my messenger. Because when you enter the faith realm, you become a God. That's why Jesus said, ye are gods, unto whom the word of the Lord came, and the scripture cannot be broken. That is operating from the faith realm. But you cannot step into that realm just by zeal. You cannot step into that realm just by pride. You cannot step into that realm by speaking loud. You can only step into that realm when you knock on the scripture until it opens to you, because it's a realm. Too many people have not done business with the word enough. They read one or two verses, or because they say this week let's read Genesis, or this month let's read Leviticus, and they read it because they want to keep the routine. It's deeper than that. There is a reality that only you should manifest, but you need to go somewhere. You need to dig into the word until it opens to you. And when it opens, you begin to live from a higher realm. Christianity is actually living on earth from heaven. In John chapter 3 verse 13, Jesus said, the Son of Man which is in heaven. He was walking in Nazareth. How can you be walking on earth? You say you are in heaven. Because even though he's on earth, he operates from the frequency of Zion. His life and the totality of his expression is from the faith realm. How many believers have gotten there? This is why we sit on the word. This is why we pray the word. This is why we eat the word. This is why we talk the word. Because we are insisting that as it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. That's the faith realm. The ministry of the word is not advice. It's not rules and regulation. Rules and regulation, when you meet a spirit, you'll be shocked. I go to campuses a lot. I see people who come from good homes, who come from morally upright backgrounds. The moment they enter the atmosphere of the campus, they are princes of immorality that are there. They enter the campus, after 1 month they start feeling lonely. They remember that night when their mother sat with them and said, don't make any boyfriend. They remember that night when their mother sat with them and told them, boys will come for your virginity. But they come under an energy, and the energy is superior to the advice. And after a while they feel lonely. After a while they feel depressed. They look at the mirror and it looks to them as if, because no boy has approached them, they are not beautiful. And the moment somebody says Jack, they follow. They remember their parents. They don't want to hurt their parents. But there is an energy that they cannot fight. Because that's a realm. When you want to live the glorious life beyond rules and regulation, you must enter the faith realm. So that you are ruled by the energy of God's dimension. When that happens to you, nothing can bring you down. This is why we sit on the wall. Because this scripture is an access point to different dimensions. When the scripture comes alive in your spirit, you will enter a scripture and you'll be shocked that you'll meet Enoch. You will enter. Did you not read 2 Corinthians 3:15? He said, when Moses is read, because Moses had become the law. When you start reading this scripture, you will meet some of the authors the Holy Ghost used to write them. I'm not telling you stories. This is what I know. I have met Elijah in the spirit. And when you meet them, you come out with their dimensions. And then people don't know why everything you do work. They quote the scripture you are quoting, but you are not quoting what you are remembering. You are quoting the place you have gone to. And when you come with that place, the impact of that realm will follow you. The impact. That's why many people are dying today. Paul said, for this cause many are sick. He said, for this cause many die, not discerning the Lord's body. They say we are in the era of grace, so they can talk to anybody. You are joking. A man who enters the scripture and meets Elijah, if he comes out, Elijah comes with him. If you insult him because he's in the era of grace, he won't do anything. But Elijah don't know grace. Did you not read about Elijah? 40 young boys insulted him. You have bad hair. He said, let a beast devour them. They died. Elijah is not in the era of grace. But Elisha is still part of your reality, because this scripture insists that his dimension remains here. So when you are entering the scripture, you are traveling. You are traveling. That's why I say you have come to Mount Zion. It's a doorway to reality. It's a doorway to dimensions. All of that is in the realm of faith. We are not vulnerable. We are not disadvantaged. We have not just explored our heritage. When we begin to explore this Bible, you will be shocked what will become. You can enter. Have you not read about the great men making impact in their world? Somebody went to see E.E. Adeboye and he said, "Sorry, I delayed. I was talking with Isaiah." You think you just build a church like Redeem because you are smart? There are men that build alongside. But these men have not died. The Bible said they are spirit of just men made perfect. When you travel here, you will meet them. Why was Jesus praying on the mountain and Moses and Elijah came to him? You are not disadvantaged, my brothers. The Lord told you are a prophet. It's not only prophets on earth that will train you. Sometimes when you sit on Ezekiel, a point will come as you meditate for a long time, the door will open. And Ezekiel will come with a scroll and tell you how he wrote that book. When you come out, even your generation will know that you are ancient. You are older than those who are alive. Because you have journeyed and you have met beings that existed dimensions before your era. This is a mystical book. Christians have made it a religious document. That's why it looks powerless in our hands. But as you are leaving this conference, somebody will begin to travel by the scripture. Somebody will begin to journey by the scripture. Who told you will fail in politics? Have you not read about Daniel? That even when they ganged up against him, they couldn't stop him. As you meditate on the scripture, then he will show up and tell you what he did that shut down Babylon. Our weapons are mystical. And God gives us, these things are encoded so that a charlatan cannot just pick it and access it. But we know the codes. We know the codes. We know it. I can sit on one scripture and I want to flip over to the next page. The Holy Ghost is echoing it. I know it is not time to close that chapter. I can be reading a verse. I want to move to the next verse and the Holy Ghost is talking. I know I can't leave that verse. Lord, what are you saying? Katakakakoa. Rigaba shedide balakakone. Barakatugubaka. Sasasiza. Rakapato. Zedegedia. Then suddenly, you have the experience of John. The same voice that spoke to me. I saw a door open in heaven and he said, "Come up hither." When you step there, you have journeyed into the reality of the scripture. Because the scripture is a place. The scripture is a dimension. The scripture are encoded reality that God has handed over from one generation to another generation. This is why we can never be defeated. We can never. Because the things that made the patriarchs of old to conquer, they are with us. But they are encoded in scripture. And so when I want to find out what Isaiah knows, I go and sit on Isaiah for 30 days. I'm not reading a book to recite. I'm not reading a book to quote. I'm trying to go to where Isaiah went to. Because he said, "Holy men of God speak as they were carried by the Spirit." So I know these lively oracles came from somewhere. And if I follow them, the Spirit that carried them there, that Spirit will envelope you. And a point comes, you discover you are reading Isaiah chapter 10 and you find yourself on a mountain. What is happening? You have moved. You have entered the reality. The Bible is a weapon. The Word is a weapon. And one of the things it will do is that it will open you up to the realm where those utterances were crystallized. Yeah. Hallelujah. I was studying this book and suddenly God said he wanted to show me where scepters of authority dwell. I now realize, oh, the rules they give us on earth is a joke.
When you go to where men like Moses walked, there's no forgiveness. And so even you know, you cannot fornicate. You will die. If you like, come and recite the whole doctrine of forgiveness. If God brings you to the mountain where Moses was empowered, you know you can't violate his glory. It's not something you teach, you know. If you go there, you will come to this realm and things will bow to you. It's not because you are smart. Suddenly people will look at you and they will honor you. Those who don't understand will wonder, why are they honoring you? It's the glory of the realm you came from. But that glory came with laws. You know that here, if you violate the Lord, he will kill you. He will kill you. That's why he said to Moses, you will see the promised land, you will not enter. Because you violated me by the waters of Meribah. You did not sanctify me. And so anybody who studies and that gate opens to him, if he knows, he will even be afraid to enter. Because when you enter, you will come out as a leader in your generation, but you will come with laws. This is why men of God are not everywhere. It's not because we don't enjoy fun, but there are mistakes we can't make. And because I know if I go to the cinema, I will make a mistake, I'd rather not go there. Because if I dishonor his glory, I can die there. And so when gates open, doors of nations open, it's not because you are preaching what nobody is preaching. It's where you have entered. The place you have entered makes even Egypt to open to you. You will come with the rod of God, and no matter what Pharaoh desires, you will step into his palace and you will conquer that nation. Because the power to take over nations have rested upon. Why do you think doors of nations open to people? You think it's because they are preaching what nobody knows? There are no new messages anywhere. But they are fresh messages. They are fresh dimensions. When men step into corridors, the same thing that happened to those who have gone there begin to happen to them. That's why it's mystical. And that's why it's a waste to envy somebody. It's a waste to jealous. Because you don't know where he went to. If you do what he's doing, he will die. There is a power and a scepter that came with him because of where he journeyed to. When we open the scripture, we are entering the journeys of Elohim. Because there are realms in light that we must travel to. Only through the gateway of scripture do we get there. If you have not gone to where Catherine Kuman went to, you can't weed her mantle. Aliyah, hey, oh my God. The second thing that happens to you when the ministry of the word is activated is power. Power is resident with the word, but power is also a realm. And so if it has not opened to you, you will never walk in it. We don't walk in power because we are children of pastors. We don't walk in power because we are in a church where the anointing is resident. We walk in power because the scriptures have come alive. Because the scriptures are the capsules of power. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power. It's not a book of instruction. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe. He said in Luke 5:17, Jesus was preaching and the power was present to heal. When the word moves forward, power begins to move. That's why in the beginning he said the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Holy Ghost was moving, but nothing happened. The moment he said, God said, 10 times, and the earth was reconstructed. Because the scripture is power. That's why he said, all things are sustained by the word of his power. Your power level is a function of the light that you have caught from the scripture. If you have not caught any light, forget it. You will be defeated. When we sit here, we are pressing for light. Because we know rulership in the natural realm is a function of illumination. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. How much light have you carried from the world? How much light? Those lights will become a pathway in your sojourn on the face of the earth. Job said, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secrets of God was upon my tabernacle, he said, by light I walk through darkness. Who told you you will die? No devil can kill you except as you have not accessed light. when you access light, you will make a mess of demons. When you access light, you become a winner in life. There is so much that God has allocated to us, but we don't know how to access them. And so you keep the Bible, you are troubling God every day, help me. And God is looking at you. He said, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. I have said, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. You are not people hoping for God to intervene. He said, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. And he said, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even their faith. There is a power to overcome the world that is already on your inside, but it's at the expense of light. When you lack light, you have exonerated yourself from the commonwealth of Israel. That's why even the prince of this world darkens the understanding of men, because he knows anyone who carries light is a ruler in the spirit. He's a ruler, but light is encoded in the scripture. So when we carry it, we search it, we break it open, that something will break out of it. And the moment the light begins to come, my God, you step out like a ruler. You step out without apology to anybody, whether they like it or not. You will succeed. Have you not heard of Charles Wesley? They drove him from the city. They thought impact is about auditorium. He went and stood on his father's grave. From that grave, the whole city gathered around him. They drove John from the synagogue. John went to the wilderness without invitation, without calling anybody. He said he was in the wilderness. While he was there, he said the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. There was power to summon the city into the wilderness. And Jesus came, he said he was a burning and a shining light. And you were willing to stay under his light for a season. Forget the gimmicks going on. Forget the manipulation. You are too big for manipulation. You are too important to use manipulation to go ahead in life. You don't need to bribe anybody to go forward. What you need is light. When light comes out of your spirit, even darkness, we know they can't hold you back. Everything that belongs to you, the devil will vomit it. Because when you show up, you will become a tormentor in their realm. Saturate my heart, cause an overflow. Oh, Emmanuel. Saturate my heart, cause an overflow. Oh, Emmanuel. Hear this. The devil may be afflicting people with sickness. Forget about the sickness. Dig into the word. Search the word. The moment light breaks out, when you come out, you will not need to cast them out. They will run. When Jesus returned with light, the Bible said the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentile, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. He entered the synagogue. Immediately, demon began to run. Oh, son of David, why have you come before your time? Was he not in that same synagogue 30 years before? What was the difference? Light has come. There is something that will break out of your spirit, and death will go back from your family. Poverty will go back. Hatred, weakness, it will go back. You don't need to talk. Just be there. Just be there. And see what light does. See how light messes up darkness. You have not contended for light. Somebody may need to leave this conference and sit on the scripture every day 4 hours. And you are reading Kakakato, Rege, Dakakias, Barakato, Susaka, Barotwate, Vakasina, Mantakiba. When that light comes, even your helpers, you will summon them from another nation. Did you not read? He said, your sons and daughters will come from afar. He said, strangers will stand to build your walls. You don't need to manipulate people to support you. Just carry light. They will travel from afar. They will endure a lot of pains just to help you. He said, you will suck the breast of kings. The breast of kings. He said, the wealth of the Gentiles will be converted to you. You don't need to join darkness. Just carry light and see what happens. The ministry of the word is where we get light from. And the more your light grows, the more your dominion grows. There is a scepter you will wield, but it takes light. It takes light. When that light comes, even you will become scared of yourself. Hope you know, when God made man, the Bible gave us a secret into what happened in that studio. Only the Godhead was there when man was created. But when he saw the propensities of man, he said, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Who was afraid? Who was there when you were made? Because God knew that the same thing he carries, he has given you opportunity to carry it. And so if only one God created the whole world, imagine what will happen is 1 million gods emerge. When 1 million of us in Nigeria emerge, sons of God, imagine what will happen. But it's at the expense of light. People are manipulating. People are doing all kinds of things. Do you know who you are? Somebody told me a story that made me almost run mad. He went to Japan and he left some dollars in a taxi and forgot it. And the taxi driver drove off. When he remembered, he almost died. He checked where he booked from and called the taxi driver. Sorry, I forgot my bag in your car. He said, yes, I saw the money. I put it at the office. You can pick it tomorrow. He thought it was a lie. And he called the taxi driver the next day, took him to the office, gave him his money back. Not $1 was taken. What happened? The man said, it is beneath us to steal. It's beneath us to steal. But here there are Christians, they are begging to steal. They are begging to bribe. You don't know who you are. He said, they know not. Neither would they understand. When you know who you are, you know that whatsoever you do, it must prosper. Even if it's pure water you are selling, by prophecy, you will cause that pure water to bring millions. You know. So you don't put yourself under pressure. You are too big to steal. You are too big to manipulate people. There is a light you carry that makes you a ruler. Not you. That's who we are. That's who we are. We are in the God class. We are not ordinary men. We are not ordinary men. When that light comes, even kings fear you. Daniel was in Babylon. The king dreaded him. The king was afraid of Daniel because of light. You think the word of God is for preaching? The word of God is to make you who you ought to be. You ought to be a God because you are a son of a God. But it will take the word of God to get there. And when you know who you are, oh my God, your life becomes an adventure. Because the Bible said Jesus took 5,000 men, not counting women and children, to the mountain. And after talking to them for 3 years, he said they were hungry. And Jesus said, give them something to eat. Men without light said, even a year's wages will not be enough. Who told you I'm at the realm of wages? Who told you? In John chapter 6 verse 6, he said, he himself knew what he should do. That's light. He said, what do they have? A young lad, 5 loaves, 2 fish, bring it. He lifted it up and thanked God and began to break it. And the bread began to multiply. And in John 14 verse 12, he said, greater works than this shall ye do. How can money finish in your hand? There are technologies in light that when light comes, oh my. Isaiah said, I and the children the Lord has given to me, we are for signs and we are for wonders. People should study your life and they will understand what grace means. They will study your life, they will understand what mercy is. They will study your life and they will understand what power is, depending on the kind of light you have caught. You will not leave this conference until light visits you. You will not leave this conference until you become a shining light to your generation. When Peter heard that greater works than this shall ye do, Peter said, okay, if Jesus laid hands on the sick, I will lay shadow. And he said, Peter came out from the place of prayer. They kept the sick, that is shadow. Acts 5:15, and his shadow healed them all. And Paul showed up later. He said, according as it is written, they believe and have spoken. We, having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. If Jesus laid hands, Peter healed with shadow, take my handkerchief. And he said, handkerchiefs and aprons
were taken from the Apostle Paul. And he said those handkerchiefs were casting demons. The handkerchief didn't say in the name of Jesus. The handkerchief didn't say get out. The handkerchief only made contact. But because it touched Paul, it touched demons. Demons left. I know that when I use this, it's not sweat that is on it. I know by revelation. It's called light. It's called light. When you carry it, even when you are traveling in a commercial vehicle, you just know the people are blessed. You just know. They may not know where it came from, but you know they are blessed. That you are breathing the same air with them, something will happen. How can you touch something and it fails? Things don't fail with us. It doesn't fail. Even if it was destined to fail, because we showed up, it must work. It's not pride, it's who we are. There's so much light for you to doubt. That's why we sit on this world. We are finding what the world say about us. I know where I came from, people fail. I know where I came from, people don't succeed. And then I check the scripture and it says, whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. All things are passed away. What? I'm a new creature. I deny the identity of an Edoma man. I remove the identity of a Nigerian. I came from Zion. I'm a Zionite living in Nigeria. So I am an ambassador to this realm. The things happening here can't happen to me. So many things I don't pray about. They just happen because I know who I am. It takes light. It takes light. They say young ladies must sleep with men before they marry. Not me. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a chaste virgin. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you marry me, you are blessed. I know it. And it becomes your consciousness. And suddenly, you begin to reconstruct your world because of the light that you carry. Can you lift your hands toward heaven? Ah, I have 5 things. I've just shared 2. Time is a body. A day will come when we'll have fellowship beyond the stars. Baraku en Adonai, Baraku Leolam Bae. Talk to the Lord now. Talk to the Lord now. Out of time, but hear me. When I walked into this building, I saw a sign in the spirit. I had to calm myself down because this is the first night. I saw a number 12 in the spirit. Hear this. You don't need to do anything, just stay calm. And the Lord said, He's raising from among you 12 rulers. Just stay calm. There are 12 of you that a scepter will fall on you now. Some of you will go to the academia. Some of you will go to the economy. Some of you will go into ministry to nations of the world to do valiantly for God. Malaka varuata. Zila bandru belegefa edavishka. Rakabone melata. If there are ushers here, you help me now because I want to put my hands on them. It's a spiritual ceremony. From the left to the right, from the front to the back, even to those online, you are partakers of this grace. Everyone receiving a scepter by the Spirit, now, Holy Ghost, pick them out for their ordination. Take that impartation. Take that impartation. Take that impartation. Ushers, bring them here. Parakados. Atele fetekayanda sutak. Pariada velaska bandarakado. Mandeke vele kaparida parasta. Marivate vele kude. Watchers in the spirit. Custodians of dimension. Carriers of graces. By the spirit of the resurrected Christ. Take that grace.
So river flow, river flow. Let it an river flow in your church once again. Let it an ABC. River flow, river flow. Let it an river flow in your church once again. Let eternity be seen.
They labored you a harlot. They labored you a failure. They labored you a criminal. They labored you a liar. But I came with a verdict from heaven. The dimensions that you were born with, the graces that were craved for you by the Spirit of God, take that grace now and manifest it.
Marivakedo velekanata Jabele Vratina Barakida Banda Suzar.
Rahab was called a harlot, but in the Chronicles of Zion, she was the progenitor of Christ. I call you what God calls you tonight. Take that impartation.
Ene do da boeno, ojo do da boeno, ohimine akwata kegbiti. Ene do da boeno, ojo do da boeno, ohimine akwata kegbiti. Ene do da boeno. Ojo do da bueno, ohimine akpata kegbiti.
Somebody's hand is about to be set on fire. David said, the Lord teaches my hands to fight and my fingers to war. The power to conquer. The power. There's an ordination to conquer. God sends you to hard ground and you break it open because you're a pioneer and a trailblazer by the Spirit of the living God. Take that fire. Take that fire. Take that fire. Workers of miracles. By the Spirit, take that fire.
See you flow. Flow like a mighty wind.
Spirit. Odoboga duwe. Odoboga duwe.
You are higher than the highest.
Greater than the greatest. Otokwakakuwe, otokwakakuwe. You are higher than the
Marivana kapatele kevenato. You didn't come to hear new doctrines. You didn't come to write things and principles. You came to contact grace. You came for an encounter. You came for transfiguration. And so I bring you the energy of God. Barakaba dovela kamate. Baruabe velakaya. Brother, ordination of wealth on your life, and I come to activate that ordination by the Spirit. Take that grace now and go forward. Take that grace.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We're out of time. I'm seeing somebody around the first three row here. This row, you have a heart condition. I'm seeing somebody struggling, something around your chest, around this row here, that God wants me to touch quickly. There is a fire that is about to cause an affliction related to your heart, somewhere your chest here. Is there anybody there? Please look at me quickly. I need to release something on somebody here very fast. Very fast on this row. I can sense that energy. Please run out quickly. Let me place hands on you now. Jesus, I've seen
somebody receiving a landed document somewhere here. It's like you are into real estate. Very close to me. Close here. Run out quickly. I want to touch that person. Close by here. It's for land. It's power. Take that grace. Take that grace now. By the Spirit. Take that grace. Receive that authority. Receive that authority. Take that grace. Take that grace. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I would have pushed further. Just lift your hands. Let me say a word of prayer. There are many things flowing in my spirit. I can't. We don't have the time. And this is a senior minister. I have to honor him. Father, every grace allocated for everyone under my voice now, on ground, online, I decree, let that grace rest on everyone now. You say, ask of me rain in the time of the latter rain, and I will cause bright clouds, and there will be rain on every blade of grass, on ground, online, by the Spirit. Take that impartation that moves you forward. Take that grace that moves you forward. Every mountain stopping you until now, I stand against them and I decree, let the mountains go back. It said when Israel left Egypt, Judah was a sanctuary. It said the sea saw them and went back. Jordan fled. The mountains kept like rams before them. By the Spirit, every sea before you, every mountain before you, in the name of Jesus, go back now. Go back now. Go back now. I command your prosperity in the name of Jesus. So let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' precious name. Please give the Lord a big hand. I'm so sorry, sir, for stretching the time.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.